that ability to fellowship with God, that ability to hang out with God. Adam and Eve ran away. They were afraid because they were naked. They couldn't fellowship with God. Sin had that effect. It broke their fellowship with God. Jesus came back to do what he did so that we now could have fellowship with God. We can hear his voice. We could walk in a living relationship with him. Now, when we talk about the voice of God, and again, I remember as kind of being a young believer, hearing people talk about hearing God and God said, and just kind of conjuring up different images in my mind, because my images of God speaking was watching Moses and the Ten Commandments, you know, and seeing that light come down and scribing it on and the voice. And, you know, I really hadn't been raised in a way of just learning to discern the voice of God any other way than some dramatic form. And so I had to kind of begin to learn to grow, and praise God, I got in a good Bible-based church young in life, and I was able to learn how to grow up spiritually and to discern some things. Here's a great passage of Scripture that I think helps us to further understand what it's like to actually hear the voice of the Lord. And this is just a little incident where Elijah went to hear the voice of God, and God had a little exercise for him to do. He said, this is God speaking to Elijah, then he said, "Go out, stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains, broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. I love that passage of Scripture because I think it really helps capture our perceptions as human beings as what it means to hear the voice of God. A lot of times, and I've heard people put it this way, you know, we're trying to hear the voice of God in the spectacular. And really, the supernatural voice of God is going to be the subtle promptings of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. What the Scripture here calls it, the still, small voice. You know, the prophet was declaring, we all now, the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they equal sign, they are the sons of God. Everyone, as born-again Christians, now has the ability to hear the voice of the Spirit of God and to be led by the Spirit of God. And so it's important to understand and know that it is the will of God for you to hear the voice of your Lord. It is the will of God for you to pick up in your spirit and to register on your mind supernatural understanding and wisdom beyond your natural ability that comes from the Spirit of God. It's the will of God for every child of God to experience that and to experience that fellowship, that garden fellowship that Jesus came to restore to us. But as we talk about hearing the voice of God, we know that there are a lot of other voices in the world, John says. And so, as we endeavor to hear the voice of God, this morning I want to talk more specifically about discerning the voice of God. Okay? There are various voices in the world. There are impressions you'll get on your mind that seem so crystal clear. It can seem like revelation. But how many of you know everything's got to be judged? Everything has to be brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And this morning what I want to do is I kind of want to line up some voices. And I want to look at some voices, what they sound like, what they look like, so that as we come in contact with some different voices, we can discern and spot and know which voices to listen to and which voices to reject, what to yield and what to resist. You know, you're down here doing one of two things. You're either yielding or you're resisting. That's why you have a free will. The Bible says, submit yourself to God and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And ultimately, you're doing one of those two things as you're walking with God. You're either yielding to what you're hearing or you're resisting what you're hearing. One of those two things. And a lot of it has to do, whether you yield or resist, is your ability to discern whether to yield or resist. And so this morning, again, I want to kind of bring out some various voices. And I want to describe them. I want us to get really good at being able to discern what's God and what's not God. A lot of times that's the million-dollar questions. Is it God or is it me? Well, this morning we're going to endeavor to answer that question. Not as specifically as it may relate to your exact situation, but in the terms of voice, tones, qualities, some stuff you can have to help discern for yourself whether that is God or whether it is you or whether it's the devil, whatever it might be. So this morning, as we delve into discerning the voice of God, we want to start out with the ungodly voice, okay? The ungodly voice, you might think, well, this is a very apparent one, and for the most part, it can be very apparent, especially for those of us who are believers, those of us who know the Word of God, can very clearly be able to see and discern the ungodly voice and what it sounds like, what it looks like. Psalm 1, we get a good picture, snapshot, if you will, of what that ungodly voice is like. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. That ungodly voice has various characteristics. Did you know the ungodly voice has counsel for you? There's an ungodly voice that wants to tell you how to live your life. There's an ungodly counsel that wants to help you make decisions. It's ungodly. Not only does it want to help you make decisions, but you're going to notice here too, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Look at those other two in context of what the ungodly is like and what it does. You could put it this way. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Ungodly counsel will stand in the path of sinners. Ungodly counsel will sit in the seat of the scornful. Ungodly counsel is what it just says. It's ungodly. There's godly and there's ungodly. And that ungodly counsel isn't just bad stuff. It's more than that. It stands in the path of sinners. That word, if you look, stands in, it literally means to loiter, to hang around, to make yourself, to make provision for the flesh. That ungodly counsel lives in that atmosphere of ungodliness. It sits in the seat of the scornful. It's critical. It has a chip on its shoulder. All right? Now, when we talk about the counsel of the ungodly, I want you to understand it in terms of two things very specifically, because the voice of the ungodly is going to do two very specific things. Like we said, it stands in the path of sinners. Godly men don't stand in the path of sinners, but ungodly counsel does stand in the path of sinners, and it does sit in the seat of the scornful. And those are the two things that you can use to help you discern the voice of the ungodly, or the ungodly voice, I'll put it that way, okay? Because the ungodly voice is going to, number one, stand in the path of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful. What do we mean by stand in the path of the sinners? It's going to glorify the flesh. It's going to make this stuff look good. It's going to make this stuff look right, okay? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, all that kind of stuff. You're going to be tested about whether you're a good person or not based on what you believe about this stuff. It doesn't just stop here. It glorifies the flesh. The spirit of the world, ungodly counsel, makes the flesh look right and makes God and God's rules and ways look wrong. Ungodliness is truth and right and good. God is evil and wrong and bad. God, that spirit of ungodly counsel will come in and will begin to stir up those things. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions. It'll make anger and hatred look good and right and tough. And that's what that spirit, that ungodly spirit does. It glorifies the flesh and it mocks the spirit. The fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such there's no law. That's the fruit of the spirit. The ungodly voice is going to glorify the flesh, and it's going to mock the spirit, like we said before. It stands in the path of sinners. It's going to be glorifying flesh stuff, and it's going to sit in the seat of the scornful as it relates to the spirit stuff. We look at this stuff and go, wow, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, this is great. That ungodly spirit has a critical seat of the scornful, mocking attitude toward that very stuff. Love. Oh, love. God. Crutch. Joy. Oh, I see your little happy cable shows. Phony! Give me a break. Your little plasticky joy bubble. Come on. Peace. Denial. Long suffering? Yeah. Doormat. Self-control? Yeah. Religious bondage. We're talking about discerning the voice of the ungodly. It is very sinister. It is very real. You get a vapor down here. If you want to burn it up to look good, you can, to the world, or you can live for God. This is what it looks like in real life. Peter gives us a real life example. He puts it this way. He said, hey, look, we've spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable adulteries. In regard to these, they, talking really ungodly counsel, spirit behind it, think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. When you don't run with them anymore, you're about to get mocked. Your self-control is about to get mocked as a religious bondage. Now, what we're talking about here this morning is about discerning God's voice, all right? If you're going to take thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ, you need to understand what certain voices sound like, what they look like in real life when they come at you. And this is what they look like. They're going to make the flesh look good, the candy man. Mixes it with love and makes the world taste good, makes the flesh taste good. And it will mock the spirit. If you're going to live this way, the Bible says, if you're going to live godly in Christ, you are going to suffer persecution if you don't run with the same flood of they will speak evil of you. You're one of those. As you're endeavoring to live for God, there is a voice of the ungodly that is out. It isn't it. It is. It glorifies sin, and it scorns what's right. You'll see both sides. It's really easy to discern. In fact, it's so easy to discern, it's frustratingly easy to discern, because then you got to do something about it. You'd almost like it to be a little more mystical, but it's so obvious to children of God. But we got to say, you know, that's the voice of the ungodly. Am I going to yield to it, or am I going to resist it? Yielding and resisting. Jesus said something very profound. He said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He said that, it's like 10 accounts, if you just want to run your reference on it. Over and over. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. What kind of hearing is he talking about? He's not talking about their physical ears there, is he? He's talking about those who can grasp, understand, who are tuned into the frequency of what I'm saying, who can hear what I'm saying. Hear what I'm saying. Hear what I'm saying. The voice of the ungodly wants to mess up your ears. That's the design. The Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices. One of his devices for you, and the way he uses the flesh, is to mess up your hearing and your ability to hear. We've read here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. It says clearly, don't be deceived. God isn't mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And you kind of think, yeah, okay, yeah. I sow to the flesh, you know, bad stuff's going to happen. If I sow to the Spirit, good stuff's going to happen. Well, eventually that might be true, but before any stuff ever happens, there's something that happens first. When you sow to the Spirit, when you yield yourself to the Word of God, to the Spirit of God, to the words of Christ, you're going to hear what the Spirit is saying. But when you yield yourself to the flesh, you're going to have ears to hear what the flesh is saying. It tunes you into the flesh. Satan will find some little desirable thing that you want. Whether it's some fleshy, you know, whether it's a, you look at the list of the flesh, whether it's a sexual thing or a morsel of gossip and getting intruding and doing different little things that can satisfy your flesh. And after you're done enjoying that little pleasure of the sin, the flesh, the problem is you're tuned into the flesh then. Have you ever noticed that? The old fears and hatred and anger and different things like that. You yield to the flesh, and all of a sudden you're hearing things. You're picking things up in the flesh. You get tuned into the flesh. If you want to get real technical, laboratory, Romans 7. It looks like this when you look under the hood. The law of this, the law of sin and death that's in my members is warring against the law of my mind, trying to bring me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. That's the way the Apostle Paul describes it in Romans chapter 7. And so you've got that warring against your mind, all right? And you know it's there, and you get these suggestions, and you know they're flesh suggestions, and you know you shouldn't do it. But when you yield to the flesh, you set your mind on the things of the flesh. And there's like a connection. While you're enjoying that little flesh thing, whatever it is, you're tuning in to the station that has the fear, the anxiety, playing all those other songs that you're not even wanting to hear. You're just tuning in for that one little thing. But you're getting all this other stuff. Have you found that out? You can't have your cake and eat it too. You get a bunch of junk that goes along with it. And it brings you into captivity to the bondage of your flesh. We're talking about the voice of the ungodly. How does that work in our life? The enemy tries to get us tuned in to that voice through the flesh. And that's how it happens. He'll try to get you tuned in so you can hear all that other stuff. It's like, my goodness, okay, well, I gossiped a little bit, and I shouldn't have said that, but why am I all of a sudden I get this fear? And have you noticed they're linked with a short rope? You tuned in. Paul said, to the pure, all things are pure. They're living in the same world you are. Why aren't they picking up all those hypotheticals? They just don't have ears to hear what the flesh is saying. They got their mind set on things above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, not on things on the earth. Paul said, be simple, babyish regarding malice. You're not born simple regarding malice. You're born with a PhD in your hand regarding malice. You're clever. You pick up on everything. It takes the Spirit of God to be simple regarding malice. These are